We're not here to meditate on the cross. That was a common practice in the late Middle Ages, which Luther denounced. He placed all the emphasis on the word from the cross. Without proclamation coming from the cross, it wouldn't matter if Christ was crucified 1,000 times over. We'd remain under judgment. So open your ears to the sixth word from the cross, tetelestai. It is finished. What is finished? Do you think this is a proclamation that his life is over? That it is the end of his heart beating, his lungs breathing, his soul being connected to his body? No, Jesus always prophesied that he would rise again on the third day. Every time Jesus predicted his death, he also predicted he would rise. He knows that his soul is not finished with his body. He knows he will walk this earth again. Well, then, is Jesus saying his humiliation is over? Is Jesus saying he is finished, not fully using his divine powers as a man? No, that's not over yet either. A Roman soldier is still going to ram a spear into the side of his dead body and pierce his heart, even after that heart has stopped beating. And brutalizing, abusing a dead body is even more humiliating in the usual sense of the word than doing so to a live one. That spear being jammed into his side, and you can't think the soldier did that gently, spared Jesus from getting his legs broken, as was the case of the thieves crucified with him. But his humiliation doesn't end with a spear thrust. It continues with the burial. The basic Christian confession of faith doesn't end with crucified or even dead, but continues with and buried. See the ghost-white corpse of Jesus being taken down from the cross. See how arms, legs, head flop about lifelessly. See Jesus' mouth open because the jaw is kept closed only by an active use of that muscle. Sure, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus handled Jesus' body with care, but they had to work hurriedly because sundown approached and with it the Sabbath. And yes, they rubbed his entire body with 75 pounds of spices and wrapped it in linen strips. But remember, they're doing this to the body of God, and he's dead. And the final indignity, the last humiliation, is still to come. They bury him. They seal him in a stone-cold tomb. You should hear and you should feel this word of proclamation the same way you do the jail door clanging shut on an innocent person. Be startled. What is finished then? Jesus' active suffering for sins. For the sins of everyone who has ever lived, lives now, or will live. For your sins. If you were the only sinner that ever existed, if just you needed to be redeemed, the Father would still have sent his Son to the cross. What Jesus says is done is his active suffering for your sins. So don't you dare think you need to add to his suffering by feeling bad for your sins, by punishing yourself in little ways. When you do that, you're not helping Jesus. You're answering his proclamation, "It is finished," with, "Oh no, it's not." The sixth word is literally one Greek word, tetelestai, but that is translated correctly with three English words, "It is finished." And here it's important to remind yourself that "is" means is. Jesus does not say it will be finished. If Jesus said that, when would you know the act of suffering needed to pay for your sins was over? You wouldn't. Then when tragedy, disease, death struck you, you could rightly conclude, well, this is another step down the road to it being finished. Since Jesus actively suffers no more for sin after this, you couldn't look for anything from him to finally finish it. Your sin would be like a debt you owed to a mobster. Every time you thought you were finished, the brutal mob bosses of sin, death, and the devil would say, "Like hell you are," only they would mean that literally. It might be finished. It's just as bad as it will be finished sometime in the future. Actually, might be is worse. for this is the monster of uncertainty. Luther railed against, in the Roman Catholicism, the monster of uncertainty. You could never be, you were never to be sure that your sins were finished, being paid for. If you failed to confess out loud a mortal sin to a priest, well, it wasn't finished. If you failed to do adequately the penance assigned by a priest for a confessed sin, it might not be finished. If everything else were sound, said Luther in the papacy, still this monster of uncertainty is worse than all the other monsters. However, don't think the monster of might be finished only lurks in Catholicism. It's there in Protestantism too. If it, the it being payment for your sins, is a matter of your choice, are you sure you made a sincere one? If it's a matter of giving your heart to Jesus, are you sure you gave it all? If it's a matter of asking Jesus to come into your heart, might you have not really meant it? The monster of might haunts you if you think it being finished is based on your pious inner feelings or on your pious outer works. Are you willing to stake all eternity on either of those? Don't Bill Clinton this. While in the highest political office in America, he single-handedly destroyed the English language for millennials when in that tawdry affair, he responded under oath, "It depends on what the meaning of the word is." The to be verb was declared not to always state reality. It could be used symbolically. It could be used metaphorically. What is reality? What is truth? Well, they were up for grabs. Don't Bill Clinton Jesus' sixth word from the cross. Is means is. Jesus states not what will be sometime in the future or what might be reality here and now. He states what is. His act of suffering, the suffering of God in flesh and blood, in place of, on behalf of, for sinners, is finished. Nothing needs to be added. Nothing can be added to this reality. The sixth word from the cross is one Greek word, tetelestai. And English Bibles translate this as it is finished. But this Greek word proclaims much more than three English words can carry. There is forever in this word. There is the mythical 12th of never here. There is from here to eternity. There is a forever and ever and a world without end in this word. The sixth word is a Greek perfect. It is forever finished. If you could get to the 12th of never, it'd still be finished there. From Golgotha to eternity, it is finished at every step of the way. It's like when the geometry teacher drew the line on the board and said it goes on forever. Yes, this line goes on forever both ways because the book of Revelation says that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. Edgar Allan Poe would have you haunted by the raven saying, nevermore, nevermore. But by Jesus proclaiming, finished, the act of suffering to satisfy God's wrath against all sins, by him declaring that in the perfect, he wants you haunted, no, forever comforted with forevermore, forevermore. Not only does this Greek word proclaim foreverness, it proclaims passiveness. It's a passive, which means Jesus is letting you know it's not finished just in his eyes. He's not the child at the dinner table who thinks that his parents ought to be satisfied with his standard of finished. God the Father is the one who needs to be satisfied. It is his wrath that needs to be appeased. No, it's true, Jesus passively accepted this suffering. But be comforted by the fact that God the Father objectively recognizes his suffering is sufficient to pay for sins against him, which no man could pay for. God the Father said the only way for his wrath against a world of sinners could be stilled, could be quenched, is if Jesus took the cup of God's wrath that his Father put into his hands and drank every last drop of it. By saying, it be finished, Jesus lets you know God regards that cup as done. Emphasize the passiveness of Jesus' suffering and of the Father regarding it as finished to get to the full comfort of tetelestai. The word emphasizes both. The Father doesn't begrudge giving up his Son to the punishment your sins deserve every day. And the Son doesn't suffer that punishment unwillingly but gladly. In Great Britain alone, there are 50 to 60,000 memorials for World War I soldiers killed in action. The names of a million dead soldiers are carved in stone memorials across the country. Always, these memorials add that their lives had been given, not taken. The reality of the Almighty God the Father, that he should give his Almighty Son in place of a sinner like you, and that God the Son should willingly be so given, that's very hard to illustrate. But it's the crux of the proclamation today. Luther says that if you lose the for you aspect of the proclamation today, you've lost the cross, the comfort, and the salvation. But you've heard this so very many times. Psychology studies say that if you stare at a chair for 15 minutes while repeating the word chair over and over and over, in the end, you will lose the concept of chair temporarily. So let us hear this all again for the first time. In a 1993 movie, The Good Son, a mother is left holding over the edge of a cliff two boys. In one hand is her 10-year-old son that she has just found out has drowned his brother, her little infant. In the other hand is her 10-year-old nephew, who after the death of his mother, she is adopted as a son. They both plead with her to save them. The vile, guilty, biological son pleads with a heart-rending, "Mommy, Mommy." She only has strength to save one and must drop the other to certain death to do it. Well, she drops her biological son to save the adopted one. She drops the vile, guilty son to save the innocent one. Well, that's what God did. He dropped into hell on the cross his natural son to save us adopted sons. The difference being, the son he dropped was innocent of any wrongdoing. We adopted sons were guilty of everything. And unlike the movie, we weren't pleading, "Mommy, Mommy." We were snarling and cursing and with zombie-like viciousness trying to bite the hand holding us. Not sorry one bit for drowning our baby brother. Now, don't do with this what the 70s Detective Columbo always did with guilty people. Don't turn around while leaving tonight and say, just one more thing. No, there's not. There's not something for you to choose, to confess, to do, or even believe before "it is finished" proclaims reality. It is finished when Jesus says it is finished. It is finished when God proclaims it is finished and proclaims that he does forever. Amen. We continue now with the offering.